Good morning, church. It's good to see you today. It's a good day. It is a good day. We want to keep in our prayers. We've got teachers and our kids are going back to school. I think Charlie wins. She actually has kids in class tomorrow. She may be the earliest. So she may win for earliest start, but we need to keep our teachers and our students in our prayers as they head off for a new school year, and just have opportunities to have their faith tested, opportunities to grow, and opportunities to shine. So this morning, I was talking to Kevin this morning before Bible class, and he said, "Boy, I learned something this week, because I was thinking one direction and I was shown another direction." And I could relate to that, because this morning's lesson is not the lesson I was studying for all week. I thought I had this week's lesson, and I'm just going and I'm working on it and working through it, and then God said, "Hey, here's the message." And so, okay, all right. So I've had to go a completely different direction, but it's a good direction. So we're going to go through this, and because all of our kids are so excited about school starting back up, we're going to share a story that our kids are very familiar with. So let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in God's Word. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we thank you for letting us commune with you today. We thank you for letting us fellowship and commune with one another. Father, we praise you because Jesus died to pay our debt so that we can be close to you. And you have given us such an awesome example of forgiveness that we get to forgive each other. We get to treat each other as though nothing bad has ever happened between us. You allow us to love as Jesus loves. Father, I pray that you give us strength. Because as much as we love Jesus, we struggle with forgiving people the way Jesus did on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Father, our desire is to be with you, and our desire is to be more like Jesus. Well, fill us with your Spirit. Help us in these things. And as we study your Word today, as we read a story that we know, I pray that you will open our eyes so that we can really see you in it and see ourselves in it as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bible to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. All right, who under the age of 12? Yeah, that's right. Who's under the age of 12? How many we got? Under the age of 12. We got a few of them? Awesome. All right, under the age of 12, I need to remember, who were the three guys' names they got thrown into the fire? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Excellent. So, our kids know this story. I hope that our adults do. This week, I had something shared with me. And I'm not putting it up here. I'm not playing it for you. You can go find it this week. But it is a song by Hillsong United. And they're just one of, one of several Christian performers that have sung this song, or have, you can go online and just find the lyrics or a video. And this song is called Another in the Fire. Another in the Fire. And as we were, this week, as we were working through this song and sharing everything that God has blessed us with in this story from Daniel chapter 3, it was really amazing and just opened my eyes to what a gift this story is, and what strength that it provides. And so I want us to take a look at this story this morning, and I want us really to put ourselves in there so that we can experience what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got to experience. In Daniel chapter 3, king, oh, another kid question. Who remembers the king's name? What's the king's name? What? Nebuchadnezzar. Very good. King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar does what kings do. He builds himself a statue. He builds an idol. He makes it of gold. And this statue is so big, and it's so beautiful, and it's so impressive, and he's impressed with his own work. He says, you know what? I think everybody else ought to be impressed with my work. I mean, I worked hard on this. So here's what we're going to do. At certain times of the day, we're going to play music. We're going to have people blowing on their horns, and I don't know, there may have been have you guys learned to play the recorder yet? Anybody played the recorder? All right. There may have been some recorders. Bella played the recorder? Okay. So there may have been some recorders. There may have been some electric guitars. There was definitely some harps. I'm hoping there was a bagpipe. I really hope there was a bagpipe. They said, when you hear all this music, you got to stop what you're doing, and you got to bow down, and you got to worship this statue. Well, that makes sense, right? No, that doesn't make any sense at all. You and I have no audio cues that make us drop everything and adore a statue of some sort. We cannot relate to this story at all, can we? No! No! We're more like Pavlov's dogs. Ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding. Yeah. But this is what the king does. He says, when you hear the music being played, I want you to stop what you're doing, and I want you to worship my statue. And some of God's people who were in this foreign land, surrounded by all of these non-God people, say, I don't think we're going to do that. They didn't make a big deal about it. I mean, they didn't write on signs, down with statues. They weren't protesting. They just said, no, we're not going to do that. And so they didn't. And some of the king's people found out about it. So I would like us to pick up in the story and see what happens. In Daniel chapter 3, let's start in verse 8. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. And we're going to break the story into two big chunks. So we're going to read several verses here. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, oh, there was a bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Now, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you're ready, When you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression on his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. All right. So, here we have this story of what the king has done, and some of the locals turn in 3 of God's people. They notice that they're not acting like everybody else. And so they go to the king and they say, King, you're awesome. You give awesome rules. You give us awesome things to do. And we found out there's some Jews that we've brought into our country. We were so kind as to go in, destroy their land, and bring some of them home with us. And some of those Jews who live here are not bowing down and worshiping your statue. I mean, did you not make a law that everyone, when they hear the music, needs to bow down and worship your statue? And, you know, of course, the king's like, well, yes, I remember making that law. Well, these 3, in fact, they not only do not bow down to your statue, these are 3 that you've put in charge of important things. They're in your own house. Well, the king's furious. The king's just angry. I can't have this. I mean, I can't have people in my own house not worshiping my God that I set up. So he calls them in and he gives them one last chance, right? He gives them one last chance. He says, okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, here it is. If you bow down and worship my great big statue when you hear the music, everything's forgiven. We're all good. We'll just go back to our lives. But if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the fire. I'm going to throw you in the fire. If you don't just do everything that everybody else is doing, if you don't just worship what the world worships, I'm going to throw you in the fire. Now, at this point, you would think these 3 guys would be kind of scared, right? I mean, if someone came to me and said, Mr. Park, you need to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, or we are going to shoot you in the face. Now, someone walked into the auditorium and made that declaration and had a gun strapped over their shoulder, I'd probably have to take that pretty seriously, would I not? I mean, if there were just 20 feet between me and someone who wished me harm because of my confession of Jesus, I think that would be real, would it not? Yeah, this fiery furnace was real. It was real. And their reaction was not fear. They didn't cower. They didn't run away. I mean, really, there was nowhere to go. But their answer to the king was just such boldness, such strength, such faith. He said, look, king, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. We serve the true God. And so we're not going to bow down to your statue. We're not going to do what you want us to do in these matters. I mean, we already work for you. We're faithful to you. We give you our energy. We give you our lives. We're true to you. We're not trying to run home. We're not trying to sabotage the work that you're giving us. We're not doing any of that. But we can't do this. And we won't do this. And, you know, well, that's, what are their words? They said, we don't really need to answer you in this matter in verse 16. If this is how it's going to go, our God that we serve, He's able to deliver us from that fiery furnace. And He will. He will. He says, our God is able to deliver us from the furnace, and He will deliver us from what? You. Our God can deliver us from the furnace, and our God will deliver us from you. So no matter what, we're not doing it. And then the three of them look at the king and say, and look, even if God doesn't even save us from this fiery danger, we're still not going to do it. We're not going to do it. We have faith in our God. And we're not just going to be threatened and just give that up. Well, whew. This doesn't make the king happy, does it? No, it does not. It does not at all. It does not at all. God will, and even so, if He won't, we won't bow down. So the king says, throw them in. Throw them in. You know, you and I, it's kind of hard to compare our lives with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But we get put in dangerous and difficult situations because of our faith, do we not? I mean, we get put in situations to where the world says all you got to do is go along with what we've built here and everything will be fine. If not, there'll be consequences. There will be consequences. Church, here's what I want us to see. Here's what I want us to be aware of. You have got to prepare your faith so the response is as natural as these three men. Because if you're not sure, when you're put in front of the fiery furnace, how do you think you're going to respond? I guess just as once. We won't mean it, right? Okay, I mean, I can imagine a lot of people that might have been put in this same situation. They say, we'll bow down in front of your statue, but, you know, doesn't count. We had our fingers crossed. It didn't count. It didn't count. We're being true to our God. We're just going to go through the motions. We'll bow down to your statue, but, you know, we don't mean it in our hearts, so it's okay. We're not like everyone else bowing down to that statue. We really don't mean it. Let's continue in this story and see what happens. Starting in verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, well, true, O king. And he answered and said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declared. Now again, if you don't see the funny and the irony of this part of the story, he throws three men in the fire. What is going on in there? You guys are not burning like you're supposed to burn. I mean, that's really what he's upset about. And he looks in there. He can't get too close. He's like, hey, guys. Shadrach, Meshach. Yeah, didn't we throw three of them in the fire? Yes, king. Yes, you threw three of them in the fire. Very good, king. You can count. And he's standing there at the fire going, what? I see four. I didn't throw four in there. I threw three in there. I see four in the furnace. And you know what's worse than that? Oh, they're just in there walking around like it's no big deal. They're not supposed to walk around in my furnace. They're supposed to burn in my furnace. They're supposed to die in my furnace. And there they are just walking around in the fire like it's no big deal.
I love that.
I absolutely love that. And here's the best part. Here's the best part. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. He's got to yell in his own fiery furnace to tell the guys that should be burning alive, hey, yeah, come out. Right? It's almost like that parent at the end of timeout. You go get them out of the corner and tell them their time is done. All right. Okay, you sat there long enough. Come on out. Punishment's over. Now, you notice what he said about God, right? I mean, he knows what has just happened. King Nebuchadnezzar calls them servants of the Most High God. Come on out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. No smell of fire had come upon them. Verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now stay with me, chapter 4, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. Now, this is, if you look up the song this afternoon or this week, I'd encourage you, it's a fantastic song. It's called Another in the Fire. Here it is. The king looks in and he sees another in the fire. He sees three men who would not give up their faith in God. Doesn't matter what the consequences are, they trusted God more than man. They feared God more than man. They were true to God more than man. And no matter what was going to happen to them, because they actually believe, just as we should, when Jesus tells us in the Gospels, hey, don't fear those who can only kill the body. Don't fear those who can only kill the body. If all they can do is kill the body, they really aren't that powerful. Instead, who are we supposed to fear? The one who can what? Kill the body and still have something to say afterwards, right? That's who you fear. You fear the one who decides souls, because that's more than a body. That's more than a body. So, four are in the fire, and the king calls them out. He says, whew, boy, anybody that serves this God, they got to know what they're doing. And this God that has saved you like this, I mean, they didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. There was no smoke coming off their hair. There was not a hair singed on their heads. No damage done whatsoever. And he's like, well, that God is more powerful. All I got's this statue. All I got's this statue. And he needs a soundtrack. Right? This God delivers. This God is the real deal. Now, did you catch this? Because I love how he says, if you speak against this God, did you notice that he changed the punishment? I love that. I mean, I don't know if he was thinking like, oh, fiery furnace isn't working. Drawn and quartered maybe? I don't know. Because I don't see how God can get you out of that, right? I mean, okay, he's working through the fire, but No way. I mean, if I pull your limbs off, you can't put those back on. I don't know if that's what he was thinking. I just think that's a funny part of the fire or the story. Now, here's what I want us to catch, okay? Because you and I, we are trying so hard to be faithful to God, and you and I are going to face challenges, and you and I are going to face difficult days in our faith where we have to decide, are we going to be faithful to God, or are we going to give in? Are we going to be faithful to God, or are we just going to go along, right? Check this out. In this story, there's basically three chapters. There's a pre-fire, right, where they're having the discussion, they're making their great claims. There is fire time, and then there is after fire, right? Now, I want you to notice something. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before or not. Three major chapters or major sections in this story. How many of those three sections was the presence of God or his angel or his messenger or whatever? How many of those three was the angel or the messenger present? Just the fire. First chapter, their faith is tested, and it is all about their faith. Second chapter, they're in the fire. Third chapter, God is being glorified for the amazing thing that he has done. Now, church, why do I want you to notice that? Because I think all too often you and I are pre-fire, and we're crying out and we're getting frustrated with God because he's not showing up. Mm-hmm. Maybe God is waiting for yours and my faith to trust him enough to actually go through some fire. Because how many times in our life we're like, Lord, you gotta show up, you gotta do this, you gotta fix this, you gotta take care of this, you gotta do, and then we just, wow, never had to go in the fire. God shows up in the fire. God shows up in the fire. Before the fire is a test of faith. Before the fire is on you and it's on me to stand up and say, I'm going to trust God. And after the fire, the messenger doesn't stay. He doesn't. His work is done. But so much of our time and so much of our lives is like, God, I need you to be here for this. And I need you to show up big for this. And Kevin's absolutely right. The presence of God, 100%. All the time through the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is God showing up and saying, I will fix this. I will show up in a big way, in a way that is kind of hard to explain. I will take care of this. But you and I, we give up too quickly, don't we? We give up too quickly. Well, I need God to show up. I need God to show up. God shows up in the fire. Before the fire, he's looking at you. He's looking at me. Before the fire, that's a test of our faith. Are we going to trust him or not? In the fire, he's right there. And he's protecting. And he's comforting. I mean, he's just walking around. After the fire, when God's name is being praised, his work is done. It's done. I thought that was just an amazing part of this story. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter, Peter's writing to the church and he's telling us about our lives and our roles as followers of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Verse 7, check this out. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, oh, that by the way, perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What's the outcome of our faith? It's the last thing we read, so it should be fresh. The salvation of our souls. That is the outcome of your faith. So, church, what chapter are we in the story? We're still in the faithful chapter. We are still in the faithful chapter. We are still in the faithful chapter. It doesn't matter what we face. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter how it goes. We trust God. We trust God. God's able to deliver us. And God will deliver us. And you know what? If God doesn't deliver us, we're still going to be faithful to God. That's the kind of resolve that the church has to have. That's the kind of resolve that you and I must carry with us in this week. Look, teachers, that's the kind of resolve you're going to have at school. Students, you're going to have some of that resolve too. I'm going to do what's right no matter what. No matter what the other kids do, if they're doing something wrong, I can't join in that. I'm going to do what's right. Teachers, if the other teachers are doing something wrong, you're going to have to say, I can't go along with that. I have to do what's right. And I don't know what's more tempting, the locker room or the teacher's lounge. I'm not sure. It's pretty close. And all of us this week at work, at home, with our families, with our coworkers, with our friends, everywhere we go, we are in the chapter of faith where we live and proclaim that we believe and trust in God. And it really doesn't matter what happens to us. God will deliver. It really doesn't matter what it looks like. God will deliver because we are looking forward to the salvation of our souls. That's the outcome of all of this faith. That's what we're working towards. That's what we're living for. And we have been born again to a living hope. And God's power guards you through faith. Look at verse 5. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed the last time. How are you guarded by God's power? Through faith. Do not give up. Do not give up. Do not give up hope. Trust in God. Then, of course, in verse 7, our faith is tested with fire, and the outcome is our salvation. We don't see Christ, church, but we love Him. We don't see Jesus right now, but we love Him. And because of that, others will see our faith, and they too will rejoice. They too will rejoice. So what if they don't rejoice that first time you give faith? Hey, does anybody remember anything else about Nebuchadnezzar's story after the fiery furnace? Anybody remember about anything else about his life after this? What do you remember? Yeah, he has to go out. He's got some more dreams, and he's like, hey, what are these dreams all about? Well, you're going to go out. You're going to lose your mind, basically. You're going to lose your mind, and you're going to go live out in a field. So just because Nebuchadnezzar got this lesson on this day with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego doesn't mean he was 100% turned around. It doesn't. Because you and I, we're going to go through a chapter of faith, and we're going to be like, whew, survived it. I did it. God just did a great story through my life, and these people got to witness it, and it's all better for them. And then they just turn around and do something silly or crazy or very ungodlike. And you're like, oh, what? You saw me act like God. Why? How can you possibly do that? You saw me be faithful. How can you possibly not be perfect yet? Yeah, sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes it just doesn't. But what we do is we love Jesus. We love Jesus, and other people see our faith. King Nebuchadnezzar saw that faith. He saw their faith rewarded and he praised God. Now, go over one chapter in 1 Peter, chapter 2. Go down to verse 9. Peter connects our faith with our position and role in this world and what God has always wanted for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Have we heard that any time recently? Scotty, does that sound familiar? Yeah, that was Exodus 19. Wait, Peter, after the resurrection of Jesus, is saying what? Yeah, he's saying exactly what God said about Israel. He's saying the exact same thing. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. That's what you are to God. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, he had rescued them out of Egypt and says, all right, now this is who you are. Today, we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. We have been born again. We have been baptized through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we are now a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Okay, for what? For what? What did God want from Israel? What does God want from us? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because at one time you were not a people, but now you are God's people. At one time you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God has done this so that you will tell other people how awesome God is. God has rescued us so that we would tell the world, look what God has done for us. Look what he's done. Look what he's done. Look at the furnace he's gotten me out of. Look at the difficult chapter that he has seen me through. And we all have stories. And here's the thing, church. Your story is powerful in speaking to those who don't know God. Share it with them. What has God done for you? Proclaim his excellencies. Tell other people how good he is. And then verse 11, we'll close it up here. Verse 11 says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So, Peter says, this is who you are, and you need to make sure that your life is good in front of unbelievers. So that when they start slandering you and saying bad things about you, everybody can look at your life and go, that's not really true. I mean, that's a good person. That's a good person. That's what we're called to. That's what we're called to. The last thing I wanted to see this morning. Back in verse 9, it says, church, we are a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. And I want to leave you with this. Get Catholicism and collars out of your mind for just a second, okay? Just lose that. What's the job of a priest? What is the job? I mean, like, you don't have to give me like a whole, but just simply, what does a priest do? What? Okay, all right. Interface. He said interface between man and God. I like that. That's a good interface. That's a good word. That's a good word. You are a royal priesthood. That is, and that's what priests do. That's what priests do. They interface between God and man. So, as a royal priesthood, church, that gives us two responsibilities. Number one, it gives us a responsibility to let the world see God. And then number two, it gives us a responsibility to bring the world to God. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's pretty amazing. He says, that's who you are. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed, so now you are the ones who will show God to the world, and you are the ones that will help the world come to God. What a purpose. What a purpose we've been given. A royal priesthood. So, there's always another in the fire. You're not alone. You're not alone. Ever. Ever. God's done all this so that we can be the people that we have been called to be. So let's do that. If you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to come and be born again into His excellent life. And if you are a Christian this morning, we invite you to get out this week. And I'm just going to just put it out there. I'm going to invite you this week to proclaim God's excellence to somebody. Find somebody and tell them how awesome God is. Just tell them. Tell them. Tell them how good God is. That's a positive thing, isn't it? And people around us, they're not hearing many positive things these days anyway, so bring them something good. Bring them something good.